Turn in your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. And then keep your finger there and flip over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We're in a series called Rooting Out the Root of Bitterness. This is part two. How do I uproot the root? Now, last week I went kind of long. So I promise you today, I'm not going to keep you any longer than it takes me to get done. So last week, part one was dealing with offense. We talked about how the seed of bitterness is offense. I'm offended is the great battle cry of this entire world. Unfortunately, some Christians also think that they have a right to be offended. The word offense means to stumble or trip. It was actually the part of a trip snare that you put bait on. So if you took the bait and got offended, that means you're hanging upside down, unable to see the world properly. Anybody can be offended, no matter who you are. We all have to guard against offense making its way into our life. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we're to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We can't allow it to stay. If you live for the Lord and seek to do His will, I promise you, you'll have ample opportunity to be offended. And just because offense is given doesn't mean offense has to be taken. So don't take offense. I determined a long time ago in my life, I'm not taking offense. Even if you intended to offend me, I'm not going to be offended, because I have no right to be offended. Neither do you. We talked about how we need to deal with offense while it's still a seed. Word seeds, thought seeds, they are regularly sown by Satan on the soil of our hearts, and we must deliberately sweep them away, or else we will water them by nursing and rehearsing them, and they will definitely sprout roots of bitterness. Remember this, the enemy's agenda is destruction, his strategy is division, and his tactic is offense. Offense is an event. Being offended is a decision. If you don't deal with offense in a timely manner, it will, I promise you, underline that word, it will grow into a root of bitterness. A root of bitterness will ruin your life, and it'll ruin the lives of those around you. So you got to learn to drop it. I'm still on part one right now. Not suppress it, not bury it, but deal with it and then let it go. Take responsibility for not being offended instead of requiring everyone else to take responsibility for offending you. If you have held an offense, I promise you it is growing a root of bitterness, which will at some point destroy you emotionally, spiritually, and even mentally and physically. So that's what we talked about last week. So this week, first of all, what is the root of bitterness? Our text in Hebrews said, verse 15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. That word root there means roots or foundation, that from which anything springs, the origin of something. It's something very deep. It's not superficial. And then that word bitterness means malice, venom, inward feelings of hostility. So don't let that root get deep inside of you and cause those feelings of hostility to live in you. Bitterness is unforgiveness gone to seed. It's resentment embedded like a fish hook in your soul. It's acid reflux of the soul. It's a fast-growing form of spiritual cancer. It sucks all the spiritual energy and nutrition from your life like a malignant tumor. It is an infection that permeates and poisons your whole life, including everyone you love. It said many become defiled. That doesn't just mean that many people get defiled by it. It also means that you can't contain it to yourself. Many become defiled when you are defiled. You can hide it while it's small, but eventually the lid on the garbage can will be opened and the stench will get on everybody. The poison will eventually eat through the container like acid and burn everybody it touches. You still with me? Aren't you happy you came today? Many, many studies for decades actually now have shown that bitterness specifically is a great source of physical cancer, heart disease, and arthritis. Now, having those things doesn't necessarily mean that you're bitter, but you cannot be bitter long term without ensuring that you will get sick physically of something. A root of bitterness. All right. You can't get offended. We already talked about that. So a root of bitterness is sin, and it brings all manner of evil into our lives. Verse 30 of Ephesians 4 said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It grieves the Holy Spirit because it is actually bitterness toward God. I wish I could elaborate on that more, but not in this sermon. It was the original sin of Satan. Go back and read Isaiah chapter 14. You'll find out that his desire was to take over God's throne, to become like God. And of course, he was rejected and kicked out of heaven. And he's so bitter that his whole purpose is to destroy everything God loves. It was bitterness rooted in pride. God did not say that you could give your life to him and keep your bitterness toward people. And the truth is, bitterness toward people is bitterness toward God. When we first came down here, we lived out by Parksville, out in the country there, and we had an acre and a half or something like that. And behind my house, we had a little hill that, at the bottom of it, there was a little stream that came across our property, and it was kind of canopied by trees. And I used to go down there and pray. And I was down there praying one day, and the Holy Spirit came upon me and directed my attention to this stream and this massive oak tree. There was an oak tree probably at least this big around that was right in the middle of that stream. And he had me look at this stream and see how it came in one side of my property. It got to the oak tree, stopped and did a hard left turn, 90-degree turn, went completely around the oak tree, came back to the other side, and then resumed its course. And he said to my spirit, there was a time that oak tree was just a little sprig. It gained a root right there and began to grow. At one time, that spring ran straight. But when that oak tree began to grow, when it was young, someone could reach down and just pulled it out of the ground. But now it would take chainsaws and backhoes and all kinds of effort to get that thing out of there. So that oak tree grew up, and the life of that little stream was forced to direct itself completely around that oak tree. If you have bitterness grow up in your life, it will make the stream of your life adjust everything around it. It's best to get it out while it's little. Secondly, how does the root of bitterness take root? Here's the simple answer. It happens one undealt with offense at a time. It springs from an unforgiven and unhealed wound. Most people won't admit that they're bitter, and they just bury it and they go on. But just like any other unconfessed sin, it has to be brought to the light, confessed, and healed. It's radioactive. It's spiritual gangrene. See, what happens is we get wounded and that bitterness starts to set in, and we try to go on like life is normal, and we come to church and we try to worship God and we outwardly sing, you know, "You are my shield," except that time you let that guy do that to me. "My strength, my portion, my deliverer," except you haven't got me out of this yet, God. "God, I receive all your mercy. Make sure that jerk doesn't get it because he doesn't deserve it." And so we try to move on with our lives, serving God and worshiping God with that thing in there, and everything about our life gets poisoned by that thing. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Your well is poison or clean. Life is very hard. For most of us, if you live long enough, you have a lot of hard things happen. What makes one person bitter and what makes another person better? The same event can make one person bitter and make another person better. Why is that? What is the difference? And here's the difference. It depends on your choices when the cup of bitterness is brought to your lips. Jesus, when he was on the cross, when they first crucified him in Matthew 27:34, some theologians have called this the last temptation of Christ. I hadn't thought about it much until recently. But it says they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. This was the first time. Gall means bitter. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. See, Jesus was tempted with every temptation that we were tempted with. And so he tasted bitterness. But to drink it would have destroyed his mission. He had to taste it for us, but not drink it in. We are all tempted to drink it in when we're hurting, unjustly, when revenge seems just. We taste that bitterness, and the tendency is, I'm so thirsty for something to be done here, that we take a drink of it and bring it into ourselves, to our everlasting hurt. See, you thought you were getting good, but you got bad. You needed sympathy, but you got ridicule. You thought you were going to get a raise, but you got fired. You were expecting a promotion, but you got a demotion. You wanted acceptance, but you got rejection. You prayed for a healing, but you got another tumor. You prayed for answers, but you walked away with nothing but questions. I know people, some of them are sitting right here, who have been through horrific things in their life, things that some of us couldn't even imagine, things that were so unjust and horrible that were done to them maliciously on purpose. And yet, sweet Holy Spirit water flows out of their spirit. They've had disappointment upon disappointment, but their life is sweetness. I know other people who haven't been damaged a third like these people were, who are the most bitter, unhappy, and always unhealthy people that you could ever meet. What's the difference? It's whether they chose to drink the cup of bitterness when they tasted it or not. You might have good reasons to be bitter, but you will never have a biblical basis or a God-glorifying purpose for keeping bitterness. Remember Joseph? If there's ever been anybody in history that had a reason to be bitter, Joseph had a reason. Remember, his brothers hated him. They were jealous of him. They hated him so much they were going to kill him, but one of them talked him out of that, so they sold him into slavery. He was sent into slavery away from his family for the whole rest of his childhood into his adulthood. He went into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife lied against him, and he was thrown into prison unjustly. In prison, he interpreted dreams, and the two dudes he talked to about their dreams got out and forgot all about him, didn't even say anything to the Pharaoh. But then finally he got out. And what happened? He became second in command of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. He actually saved his entire lineage because he refused to become bitter. Keeping bitterness keeps you from receiving your joy, freedom, and keeps you from fulfilling God's purposes in your life. It's not worth it. The truth is, your pain can promote you, like it did Joseph. He probably at some time, and in fact he thanked God for all these events. He said, God orchestrated this. Although they were very unjust and would embitter anybody that didn't see God's hand in it. Before I came down to Danville, I was 100% convinced God had called me to plant a church, start a new church on the southeast side of Lexington. I spent months praying about it. I researched it. I even had the building picked out where we were going to have our first service. I had talked to a bunch of people about it. And finally, I went to the pastor there, and I said, I told him my heart, and I felt like First Assembly was in a place where they could probably mother that church. I wanted to be under their authority and all that kind of stuff. And he said, I won't oppose you, but I won't bless it. It crushed me. It seemed so unjust and so wrong that he would do that. But I went and I prayed about it and I talked to the Lord. And of course, some people told me, well, you ought to just start anyway. You don't need them. That would be rebellion. I would not go out from under that my pastor's authority and do that anyway. So I said, okay, God, you must have some better thing for me. And prayed, and I ended up here. Now, I think it was better. You might not, but I think it was a better move. I think this was actually God's destiny for me, not that. But I was 100% convinced that was it. But that wasn't it. This was it. And God, actually, I thank that pastor now for not putting his hand of blessing on me for doing that. But I really could have gone the other way. I could have gone bitter instead of gotten better. Nobody can make you bitter. Nobody. You have to take it in and feed it and water it in order to get that way. Ephesians 4:26 said, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, most of us interpret that as, well, it's okay to get angry, just don't cuss them or hit them. Or it means just don't talk to them, and it's okay to go ahead and wall them out of your life, but it'll all get better with time. And I'm here to tell you, bitterness never gets better with time. The untreated cancer always gets worse with time, not better. What this actually means is deal with your anger before you go to sleep, or you've just unlocked and opened your door and your home to the devil to come in and get you to focus on your hurt pride and develop a root of bitterness in your life. In our younger days, my wife and I would have controversies. Sometimes we didn't go to sleep till 3 o'clock in the morning because we were gonna stay up till it was taken care of. We took seriously, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now that we're old, it's not worth it. We just fall asleep. But we don't even remember what we were talking about the next day. But when we were young, it was important that we did that. No, it's important now. You just have less of those things as you get older. If you deal with them when you're younger, they get worse when you're older if you didn't deal with them. So in the New Testament, there's a guy called Simon the Sorcerer, lived in the city of Samaria. And Philip the Evangelist went down to preach the gospel in Samaria. Almost the whole city got saved. There were healings, there were miracles, there were demons being cast out. It was awesome. And Simon the Sorcerer himself got saved and water baptized. But then later on, the apostles came down and began laying hands on people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, prior to this time, Simon the Sorcerer had been the big cheese in Samaria. Everyone paid attention to Simon the Sorcerer. He did all his magic stuff and everybody oohed and aahed about him. But after the revival, nobody even thought about him anymore. So these apostles were laying hands on people and people were speaking in tongues and it was obvious what was happening there. It was an amazing thing. And Simon was jealous. He remembered his old position in the city. And so he went to the disciples, didn't ask them to get filled with the Holy Spirit himself, but he saw what they were doing was getting them attention and saw that he saw it as a form of control. And he said, he offered them money and he said, give me this power so that anybody I lay my hands on will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's what Peter said to him in Acts 8:20. Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see, here it is, that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Simon was bitter, and therefore it poisoned everything. He didn't want the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He didn't care about that. He wanted to be able to have people have to come to him for it. I've noticed something. It just dawned on me while we were sitting here in worship that people who have a root of bitterness very often have a lot of trouble being filled with the Holy Spirit. Just something to think about. It's not worth not having the Holy Spirit, my friend. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, again, in verse 16 and 17, says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. I always kind of separated those two verses from the root of bitterness part, but it's connected. Esau did not value his inheritance. If you do a study of Esau's life, he was very bitter at his brother and his father his entire life. Bitterness was the mark of his life. That word profane means unhallowed, unholy, godless. And to sum all that up, he thought he could keep his bitterness and still have his father's blessing. Let me say that again. He thought he could keep his bitterness and still have his father's blessing. My friend, you can't do it. The lie that the devil tells us is, if I can just see them get justice, in parentheses, my revenge, then I can be free of all this hatred and bitterness. But Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. When you touch vengeance, you're touching what is exclusively the Lord's. It's like keeping the tithe. You are touching what is holy to God. If you think that you have a right to any vengeance, you are messing in territory that you have not one iota of right to. It belongs to the Lord. One of the saddest things that has ever happened in my ministry. By the way, I'm going to have good news by the end. One of the saddest things that has ever happened in my ministry is when we were up on Highland Court, there was a lady who lived four or five streets down from us, from the church, four or five houses down from the church. And she came up to the church one day and said, could you please come and talk to my husband? She was a believer. Said, he is very sick, and I don't know that he's going to live very long, and he does not know the Lord, and he really needs somebody to talk to him. So I agreed to go down and talk to him. So I went down that evening or the next evening, and I shared the gospel with this guy. And as I shared the gospel, he began to weep and was tender, and finally, I finished sharing the gospel with him. I said, do you agree with and understand everything I shared with you? And he said, yes, I do. I said, would you like to give your life to Jesus right now? We can pray and you can give your life to him right now. He said, I would, but I just can't now. I said, you can't now? What? Why not? And his face turned into a mask of hardness. His eyes turned black and hate began to come out of his eyes. And he said, because I just found out who murdered my sister 38 years ago, and I can't get saved until I've killed that guy. Well, I stayed there, I don't know how long, sharing more scriptures with him, literally begging him to give it to Jesus and the Lord would heal his hurt and the Lord would take care of this guy, but then he would be free and all to no avail. He, from that point on, there wasn't a tear. There was nothing but hardness. So I left that night and I went and sat in my car and I was weeping myself and I said, God, if you give me another chance, I'll go back and I'll try again next week. I never got that chance. He dropped dead a couple of days later. I mean, dropped dead like that. as far as we know, no opportunity to repent, no opportunity to receive Jesus. And of all the funerals I've ever done, when I did that funeral, I know because the Holy Spirit told me. How can you know stuff like that, Pastor? You can't. I don't want to know stuff like this, but the Holy Spirit wanted me to understand. I knew that I knew that man was in hell, burning in hell. I could almost hear him screaming while I was preaching because he could not give up his bitterness. I'm here to tell you it's never worth it, ever, ever, ever. Thirdly, a bitter root produces bitter fruit. Back in our text, Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice the first one there is bitterness, and this is the bitter fruit of it, wrath and anger and clamor, which is shrieking, screaming, and loud quarreling. And evil speaking, that's when the devil just starts coaching you. That's when the man says, I wish we had never met. That's when the woman throws the skillet. That's when they both use that foul, horrible, four-letter word, divorce. And then it said malice. Malice is a desire to hurt somebody. Malice escalates, goes ballistic. You know, there were all these mass shootings. You know they have nothing to do with guns, right? They have to do with what's in people's hearts. They had this shooting a week ago in California. I think 10 people died. And they always say this, and they said this about that. They said, we are still investigating the motive. Well, they could save a lot of time and money by just calling me. I know exactly what the motive was. This man was bitter, and that bitterness had grown and grown and grown until he had to destroy himself and everyone around him. Very, very sad. Hatred and holiness cannot dwell together. Our text said in verse 14 of Hebrews 12, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Bitterness defiles the well of love and grace. And what's down in the well always, always, always comes up in the bucket. James 3, verse 11. Does a spirit send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Bitterness is like killing an animal and throwing it in your well. It defiles it and kills everyone that drinks it. You lose the ability to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Matthew 12, 34, Jesus talking, brood of vipers. He wasn't into making people feel good. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That bitterness will always, always end up coming out the mouth. I can talk to somebody for 10 minutes, and if they have a root of bitterness, I'll hear it. It'll come out. When you fail to receive grace from God and apply it to others, bitterness springs up. You ever seen a little blade of grass springing up in the spring? You know, it comes about that high above it, either in your garden or wherever. You see the little sprig of grass. Well, you know when you see that little spring of grass that underneath it there is a seed that has sent roots further down than the grass you see sticking up. The roots are growing even deeper than the little blade you see. And if you want that grass out, it's easy to get it out right then. You just pluck it out. But if you let it keep growing, it's far, far harder. You ever tried to weed your garden by just cutting down the weeds?